Cover, so we're going to try to make this happen. So as everybody knows, my take on survival is not digging a hole and making a bunker and whatnot. It's about every day, because if we can survive every day when something really bad happens, we can survive that too. So the project for today is to cover one of the most daunting ones. I tested this 4 times. We'll see how well I do. I was aiming it 1 hour and 15 minutes, so we had a lot of time to discuss it, so we'll see. I may even get through it faster because I was practicing with it. So there's a lot of ground to cover. So electronic privacy and security is something that will threaten everything that you have. Not anyone in this room has not heard or read story after story that have come up over the past 10, 15 years about how people's identities have been stolen and all kinds of other things, but it goes much deeper than that. The depth of the damage that happens now and happens over and over repetitively all the time is so stunning. And putting it, framing it in some frame per se of reference, I started in the computer and electronics side and as an investigator separately in 1977. And in 77, we were still using 8-inch floppy disks. And, you know, if something was on a network, it had twisted pair and it went slower than string and cup. Now, we can move an entire content of a Bible in about 3 seconds on the average network from end to end, from California to New York on an OC3 network, which is pretty much the common thing that everybody's laying on the backbone for things like Verizon, Fios, Comcast, and the like. So when you look at that, there's a whole new thing, because there's no longer a difficulty to get the data. Now, because before, I remember we used to download pictures and leave it running for like an hour to get a picture. And now you download whole videos and movies that last 1.5, 2 hours in a couple minutes now. And so it's changed things, and I'll touch on that in a little while. But first of all, ostensibly, it is really important to understand, because you hear, remember, the media is not in the business of telling you facts. The media is in the business of selling ads and filling a few minutes in between, just enough to make you stay to see the ads again in between. So that means that when they tell stories on their so-called news shows, they are essentially trying to get you to stay long enough to see the next one and the next one, and not want to leave and go to the bathroom or walk around somewhere and come back when the commercials are over. That's what they're doing. So they love disasters. They love the bridge that fell today, because everybody's glued to the TV, and they'll do 24/7 ad nauseum for the next 2 days, and then it'll disappear until the next disaster happens or they find one they can create and so forth. So remember, when they talk about having hacking, and we've heard this all in the news and the political scene for a year now, hacking is a term that, if as a seasoned investigator, if we walked into 100 police departments and asked their tech guy, their police officer, which almost every town now over 30 people has a guy who's designated for part-time, they get a couple $100,000 a year from the federal government to have a cybercrime unit in the towns larger than 10,000 people. And if you were to ask them to describe, to define a hack, they would tell you that it was someone who used code and broke in. I've done this. I laugh every time I do it. They tell you that they used and wrote some code or hacked through the code and found a hole in the existing code in the program or in the operating system, and they snaked their way in, and like in war games, they made it say, "Would you like to play a game?" That's what their perception is. And really, 90%, and actually that's really conservative, because according to SANS, the worldwide top industry experts in the world in cybersecurity say that it's 98%. But I took the U.S. government's version, which is 90. So we'll split it in the middle. We'll say 94% of all hacks are actually a result of a person, a user, stupidly doing something, breaking or breaching some protocol that opens the door for them to come in. And they don't do it. This is why over 98% of all hackers who are arrested every year are under the age of 15 years old. And why? Because they use something called a kiddie script, which I'll get into in a little bit. But what happens is, when you're talking about a hack or an electronic cyber intrusion, which is different than a hack, we're talking about some means whereby a bad actor finds a way to get you to give them your information without you knowing it. So, the number one cause, anyone have any idea what the number one cause of an open port and draining and leaking information like a sieve or like a screen door in a submarine? Anybody have a guess?
Surfing the web.
Close.
A click. You're clicking on a link.
No.
You're opening an email.
Visiting a porn site.
They don't do that.
Every single major corporation in America, all in the Fortune 5000, were interviewed, and they all on their enterprise networks use some form of user surveillance. I set up networks. When I do it, I set up user surveillance so that I can look on the server and see the basic traffic and activity, who's opening what programs, how much performance they're using from the server, how much they're using on theirs. Why? Because if I have someone call me and say, "Will, so-and-so's computer is so slow and I have this thing that needs to be done tomorrow. Why is their machine so slow?" I already basically have an idea, because I can say, "Well, I know we're low on memory, so we can do this or shift that or shut down this program." Or I can say, "Well, that's because in the background they run Pandora and they're running YouTube at the same time and streaming video and eating up half of the bandwidth. So either we up the bandwidth or we ban them from using YouTube or whatever." These are user cultural behaviors. And I've been doing this since 1980, before the web even existed, on dial-up connections and twisted pair and whatnot. So the key to understand is that these intrusions happen as a result of someone's behavior who is allowed on the computer or on the network. So I will use the porn example as an easy example because it's easy to target. So in the Fortune 5000, they culled data, removed all the personal data out of it, and last year Forbes did a very interesting piece on it, and out of 5,000 of the nation's largest companies, they found that 96% of all the workstations on their enterprise networks visited a porn site at least once a week.
96?
Yeah. So male, female user did not matter. Did not matter. So what does this mean, and why do I use this as an example? Because humans are humans. And like guns or cars or anything else, if you have a problem and people are getting hurt, you can always go back to the same root source, which is humans. This is why creating a culture that will guarantee you safety, whether it's locking the door or rolling up the windows in a bad area or locking down your computer or setting your screensaver on your computer so that at X minutes, preferably 3 minutes or less, that it locks and you have to put in a password. How many people in here who have, you all have a computer at home, I'd assume. How many people in here do not have a password on their home computer to get in it? Everybody has a password. Okay, that's a miracle because I've never seen an instance where.
Well, we're in your group, you've trained as well.
There
you
go. So.
Wait, you forgot this question. How many of you have the word password?
Well,
I got a pain in the ass ID guy.
I do his network. I do his network. So he actually has to have a book to keep an electronic book that's encrypted to keep all his passwords. So it is so important. And the next thing is that if you walk away and forget and leave your computer on, you go to bed, you're tired, you go to bed. If it does not lock and you have a keystroke virus that's going on, a Trojan in your machine that came in somehow, in some errant adware that came in an email that looked like it was coming from your friend. I got four the other day, came from a friend of mine. I haven't seen him in 10 years. The minute I saw it, I knew it was the last time I heard from him about 10 years ago, he had a really bad virus on his office computer, and I sent him a phone call instead and said, yo, dude, your thing is sending out all your information. And it was sending all kinds of data, dumping data, just spewing it. So it's important to understand, though, that these things are not hacks. These are programs. And they're doing exactly what they're written to do. A hack is when you have a really good person, which I used a white hat hack back in the late 80s, early 90s, who will spend 20 days in a dark room with 10 screens and 3 computers running against something to try to find a piece of code that you can break into to make it trip. And we've seen one just recently. There was an instance where the Microsoft Office 2018 that was put out in its test version had a hole in it. And it's one of the oldest problems in programming. In a programming language, a common thing is when you make a variable, what's known as a var, a variable, you put quotation marks around it in the code. Unfortunately, if it happens to be right near something where you're inputting data and the code is running, it will trip and mistake that you're putting in a variable, and that data goes right into the actual software and treats it like a command. And some really good hackers who are probably standing with a gun against the back of their head in North Korea found the hole in about 8.5 hours after they released it. And they found a way to make every single person who loaded that to start uploading every single Word document that they had on their machine. Boom. So
isn't that like what you get that email from Microsoft?
Yep.
There is an unusual sign in it.
Yep. Yep.
It's a great phishing one.
So and that's important because low tech is the key. 90% of the successful hacks, most hacks, real hacks, don't ever succeed because they're found almost immediately because they'll start running an operation like calling mass amounts of data off of a server, and the real users are sitting there going, why is the machine so slow, calling the guys in tech going, yo, your network's screwed up, something's wrong, we can't pull anything up. And they're like, no, and they'll go and look right away like I do and look at the performance. If you do not know how to do it, how many people in here don't use Windows? Okay, use Mac? Okay, so Linux is a little different because that's really what Mac works on. So I'll stick to the Windows for a minute, but you can actually do it on Apple also. When you're in a Windows machine, if you hit Control Alternate Delete, you can go and bring up the Task Manager. Have you ever seen the Task Manager? Okay, do you actually know what to do with the Task Manager? Okay, so there are a couple of things that you need to learn instantaneously and you can solve 90% of your problems. Number one, if you come back to your machine and you forgot to lock it, and you hear it doing this, and you see the little light on it, blinking for your hard drive, you say, uh-oh. The first thing you do is pull the network cable out, right? So the reason for that is 10 to 1, maybe 99 out of 100, you will see that light stop flickering. Then you open up your machine and open up Task Manager and pull up performance and plug it back in and wait a second and watch your graph that it shows that's constantly running like an EKG will pin to the top and fill the entire thing on your network and look to see if it's running your CPU and how much. That's your the brain of the machine and the processor, and then look to see which drives, if you have more than one, that it's accessing. Now you have data. Now go back to the front to the programs that are running and click where it says CPU. Because when you click CPU, what this does is like when you're looking in your list of files and you can click on name and it'll put them in alphabetical order, and then you click again and it'll put them in ascending or descending and so forth, or in the date of creation, which I always run all mine on. But you want to see the one with the highest amount of CPU usage on the top. So as it starts cooking and you plug it back in, you can look and say, aha, there's the program that's running it. Then you pull the plug on it again and go down and right-click and say properties. And you say, what is this program? And it will tell you who the manufacturer of it, who wrote it, what it's connected to, and it should give you a brief synopsis of what it does. If it does not, and I found one on my machine last night, if it does not, you immediately go out and find on another device, go to DuckDuckGo and type in the exact program name, because it'll tell you whatever, EXE or whatever, and ask it what it is. And they'll come up, there are databases all over the world about it, and will tell you what it is. And it will tell you about all the various versions of Trojans and keystrokers and all kinds of other things that are used that use that program name. And then you can begin by removing it. You can kill it, you can turn it plug back in so you have network back, and then start finding out. You can shut it down. In Windows you say end task, in Apple you tell it end the process, and then you can go find that and delete it. Or use your, if you have a good quality antivirus, anti-malware, you can go take it out that way. If you scan it and you don't find it, then it may be getting in under your viral protection. I watched a live feed from one of my favorite crazy people in the world two nights ago, John McAfee, brilliant, brilliant guy. And the reason that they tried setting him up to kill him, really, and when they failed, they tried to jail him, claiming he had raped a, like, 13-year-old, whatever, which all fell apart, and they proved it was all a bunch of crap. But is because the governments around the world did not want him releasing what he was about to release. He had created a device they were going to sell for $100 that you would put in between your computer and the outside world. And it was a VPN, hardware VPN, that would completely hide you from anybody. Like putting you inside of a tunnel going through a mountain, and nothing can get to you until you come out the other side. And that would have been the end of all of the surveillance that they do to all of us every day, all the time, constantly, ad nauseum, la la la. And they weren't going to have that, so they tried taking him out. And lucky for us, they failed and he won. And he's now releasing that box for $250.
That wasn't his plan.
I guess he had to pay for all his legal fees. But he is a brilliant guy. And he was giving this speech in Europe. And he said, the fact of the matter is, I invented viral protection, you know, McAfee antivirus. And still it is pretty much the premier one. It's very complicated to run if you're going to get it to run right. and I'll get into that in a little bit. But the thing is that for every one virus or other malware that Norton finds, they find about 800 a day, more than them. And right now, Symantec, Norton, is running somewhere around 1,500 to 4,000 a day. And they're posting as many as 150 to 200,000 new ones a day. If you are running viral protection, since I'm on it, I'll just mention that you should be running what's called heuristic searching. It starts with an H. And heuristic searching means that, because this is what these little twerps do. So you're not dealing with brilliant engineers and scientists who are doing these things. There are a 10 or a 15-year-old who's talking to his 10 other friends in school, and he says, dude, I broke in, and I added $150 to my game card for Xbox Live. And the other one goes, oh, no, I did better than that. I broke in, and I can get free food out of the machine all day long at school. And they say, well, how'd you do that? Well, I found this script on this site, and I took it. And when they give you the script in what's known as a developer's pack, when they do, what they tell you is you can add your name in it. You can add in a I hate so-and-so. You can say this is from so-and-so. They even put pictures in it and embed it. And they allow you to change the code. But the primary code is still the same. And what they do is, this is because they want their 15 minutes of fame. So they put in their hacker name. So that when it gets caught and they've created some disastrous thing, you know, and shut down all the computers for an hour and gotten 100 hours of coverage on the news, that they're saying the guy's name, you know, XYZ hacker. And he's like, dude, that's me. Look, and they, you know, and this is what they do. So every time they put something different embedded in that and compile the code, it's no longer the same. Because the way virus protection works is simple. It says, we caught it. Here it is. This is the specimen. It's a folding chair. And it's going to look just like that. But wait a second. Now it looks like that. Now what? We lose. And it gets right by. Heuristic says, 4 points where it touches the ground, a back on the thing, a round spot there, a here, there, or that, and goes, I think there's an awful lot the same as this one. Now we're going to actually break the code open and look at what the compiled code says and see how much of it is identical, because if it's more than about 10%, this one's flagged and tossed into your quarantine. That's why you have the quarantine that you always have. So the key point, though, is to remember, these are not rocket scientists who are breaking in and hacking the world. When they hack the machines that took the votes on those electronic voting machines, which should take every one of them, put them on a boat, take them out in the middle of the harbor, and blow them up and sink them to the bottom to make a fishing reef with. In 1995, when I ran for mayor in Runnymede, my best friend was the commissioner, the Republican side, because there were two, the Republican commissioner of elections in Camden County. And they had come to him every year over and over, Diebold, and I forget the name of the other company, the one that's owned by George. And every year they'd come and say, look, we're going to take you out to dinner, we're going to do this, we'll take you on a cruise, take these machines. And he'd say no. And they're like, but you're using those things where you flip the lever and it goes, and it drops a piece of paper. You're a caveman. So when he finally left his job, the minute the new person got in there, they got him. And the first year, they caught in Camden County someone who was working in one of the districts who found out that the way the machine works is you unscrew with a security screw that I can go get the driver a whole set of them for $7.99 at Harbor Freight on sale and find the right one and stick it in there and unscrew the little screw out. And you push the thing in and pop it out, and out comes the SD card. So in the morning, they hand you a blank SD card, and at night, they take back the SD card and put it in a little envelope and sign it, and everybody puts a piece of tape on it and signs it and says, okay, it's good. It's done. The problem was, what they did was, for a week before that, four people who all went to jail and then got let off, all sat in a warehouse where they had the machines, took one machine and voted, all for the same person over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and then a couple for the other, and then over and over and then over and then over and over and over again. And they took that card out and they held it. And when they went to take them out, they changed it, and that was it. That is how simple it is. In Florida, in, I forget what year, so I won't quote it. I think it was 2005. There was a guy, a Republican, running for office. I think he was a state senator running for office in Florida. And he paid off the company who developed the software. Actually, they weren't, to be accurate. They said it in the news that they used a developer. They were actually the company who was the rep for the company who does the voting machines. So what they would do is, you have a new group of people who are running for office in that election, so they'd go in and code it. Now imagine this. The whole thing runs on Android, Linux. It's basically Linux. And it's running an old, we're on 6.0, and there's about 100 versions on each of the six. And it was on one last year, still on the old kernel. And they go in and they just basically, it's like doing a little spreadsheet and say, here's the name of the person running and here's what they are and a little blurb and then the next thing. And when it displays on the thing, that's what pops up. And so they paid this guy, this Asian guy who worked there, to write the code so that for every one they hit of that one, it would tabulate two for the Republican. And he whistleblowed and went, and there was a big blow up, and they had this big congressional hearing, and they did absolutely nothing. He told them the entire code for the entire program that runs those is under 300 characters total. And all he did was change 10 little things in it, and it made it do that. And so this is what we have hung our entire country on, based upon that. So there's no secondary backup, there's no paper, there's no nothing to do. Remember, this is the essence of what hacking is. It's not hacking. It's simple, basic things that we could get around. A person with a brain would say, we're picking someone to be president, or we're picking someone to be our mayor. Maybe it might be really nice to know who actually they voted for. Isn't there some way to find that out? And the answer is no, because people don't understand technology. This is not criminal behavior for the most part. It's ignorance. And this is why in 1981, when I was doing all the police departments pretty much in Camden, Gloucester, and Burlington County for their networks, or whatever we called a network at the time, I started saying my little coin phrase, which is that the problem with technology is that the people who, that technology and its abilities and capabilities always far outpace the understanding of those who implement it. So we have a handful of people like me who are running around going, I can break that code and fix that. If they tell you they won't, I will. Because people were still paying $10,000, $15,000 for one little database program. Because every one of them had to be written differently before Windows happened, and DOS, and then CPM, and all that. That was difficult. Not anymore. It's not the way it works. One little thing changes everything and hangs it all. Remember, this is the danger. When you see it and it says it's easy, that means it's easy to break. And you are probably the one who's going to break it for them. Hardware and software security measures are useful, but the single most effective protection is guarding your actions. Get someone like me or someone to tell you what to do so you know what to do. It's important. So let's start with shielding your personal data. Create an alias whenever you can possibly avoid using your real information. So as an investigator, it's rare for me to be saying to you, lie your ass off, but lie your ass off. So I highly recommend taking a tablet, sit back and think of the thing that has as little to do with you as possible. Make up a name, make up an address, make up, you know, an email address, make up information. So you can make it easy enough for you to remember. Delete a year or two from your birthday, and a year or two from your month, and a year or two from your day. Or, you know, either reduce it or increase it or whatever. Make up a new birthday. Every time you do something that has nothing to do with a financial transaction, it's not fraud unless you're taking money from someone without the intent of repaying. That's the way the law sees it. It's very clear. People in the military and in the government agencies do this every single day.
How about your SS?
Same thing.
You need a number or something?
Right, if you, yep, who cares? Because the thing is, as long as you're not doing a financial transaction, if they're asking you, quite frankly, they have no right to ask. So, TS. You know what I'm saying? So, shield your data. So, you are your first line of defense. Never, ever, ever, ever. Did I say never? Never, ever, ever, ever fill out one of those bingo cards when you go to a pizza place. Oh, I'm going to win a trip to Florida. Right. What you're actually doing is helping them data mine you. So one time you fill it out there, then you go to Raymore and Flanagan and you want to buy a new chair or a bed or a mattress or whatever, and they say, oh, we're having a giveaway. You want to fill this out? Sure. Why are they asking me how many kids I have? Why are they asking me how old they are? Oh, well, you get a birthday thing on a birthday, and no, that's okay. So, never provide your cell phone number if you can avoid it. With your cell phone number, unlike your landline, your cell phone number is linked to a million things out there that you do because Apple requires you to link your cell phone number to everything they do. And if you read their now 59-page privacy rules policy that nobody ever reads, thank you South Park and the Human Centipede, who forced them to change their rules for 6 months and then they went right back and did it again. They stole everybody's MP3s that they owned of their own and never returned them to them because they changed the rules on using iTunes. And it changed the world as to how people saw the rules and regulations and the policies that they have, that everybody just goes, it's showing this much of it and it's 9,000 pages, and they go click, okay, thank you. So, if you don't want to read it, go on DuckDuckGo, type in and say, what should I look out for in? And you'd be surprised how many blogs are out there where people who have nothing better to do, mostly because they're in their parents' basement at 45, and they're sitting there watching porn on one screen and blogging on the other, and they'll help you. So the reason you don't want to give the cell phone number is because, again, like I said, the minute you log your Apple device on, it links it to your cell phone number. When you link it to your cell phone number, everything that you give it from there on in of data, here's my address, here's this, here's that. Oh, wait, if I turn on my location, when I go to the maps, it'll actually give me where I am right away so I can start looking for the gas or the close-up pizza place without me having to tell it what town I'm in. Ooh. And they're logging every single piece of that. So, separate your phone number from yourself on your cell. Now, this is a little radical for most of you, but I did want to throw it in so you know. If you are most, I don't think anybody in here is, but I intend to use it somewhere else too, so I'll. If you ever do anything where you, say, sell a car online, and you go on Craigslist, and you put it on, there's so many nutters on Craigslist, and on eBay too. So what you do is you can pay $4.99 a month for this, which is called burnerapp.com, And you go on and you get one line for $4.99 a month. They give you a phone number. It attaches. You put the app on your phone. It attaches to your phone. You still have your regular phone ring in. And if they call that, it rings in on your phone too. The beauty is, at the end of the month, you can kill it. And it's gone. So you don't have any nutters calling you anymore. And if they try searching back in the records, it's only existed for 30 days or less, and there's nothing coming back to you. These are beautifully powerful tools. Look, it's $47.99 for an entire year, and you're going to have a second number. So if you sell or whatever, you have a little business on the side and you sell rabbits or whatever and you don't want them calling you on your personal number, you can give that out. And if they start annoying you too much, once a month they let you change the number for free. And then that's that. So it's something to be aware of. So guarding your personal information is important because they manipulate you, they invade your privacy, they use it to coerce you. I got a phone call a couple weeks ago, and I got it four or five times, and it was using data that was stolen, and it probably came from the Home Depot hit that they did, and they were hitting and hitting, and it said, your Verizon Wireless account has been suspended. Please call to reinstate it or press 6. And then I heard another guy when I was out yapping to his friend about it right next to me. I was, excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt your conversation, but, and he's like, oh yeah, they called me, I panicked. I said, you didn't hit 6, did you? He said, no, I hung up and I called Verizon. And there's the rule. If you receive an email that says, your account has been suspended, you this, you that, you owe, we're shutting down PayPal, someone's attacked it, you have to enter here and enter in your password, and no. Go right, and this is a key point. This makes me crazy because I'm a techie. So for me, when you go to a website, Rose, when you go to a website, and I say to you, go to my website, practice, survivewithwill.com. How do you do it?
You just type in your web address.
Where do you type it?
If I know the address, I type it right in the main bar, but if I didn't know, then I'll...
In the URL bar, yeah. Right. How many people here just go because their browser opens up right to the home page and it's on Google and just types it in the Google search line? Okay. Never do that again. Okay. Ever. Okay. Yeah. Never do that again. Point two.
But if he uses Google Chrome as his browser, then that's all he's going to have.
No, it's not. Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. So
Firefox in.
Right. It doesn't matter. You can change Google, too. You can change, you know, because Microsoft owns Bing.
Right.
So Microsoft gives you Bing because they're promoting theirs because they want to data mine you. So you can change all of them. All you have to do is go to the settings. Most of them, if you go to the site you really want to go as your homepage, go there, let it load. And go on the icon, it'll either be like an eye or a little lock or whatever. Hold down your left mouse key, drag it over onto the home little house button, and what?
Bookmark it.
It's being fished.
Oh, there you go. The PayPal one.
You want to see it?
So this is so prevalent, they report over 170 million reports on the FBI website every month. Every month. So what happens is, the first thing that you want to do is go away from Google. Do not use Google as your homepage. Do not use Google as your search point. There are two settings in every browser. One is, what is my homepage? I highly recommend, and every hacker on the planet recommends it, and every anarchist on the planet recommends it, use DuckDuckGo.
But they're owned by Google now.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
They were bought out.
No, they weren't.
Like D-U-C-K.
They tried, yeah, DuckDuckGo. Mm-hmm. They tried. They didn't get it through.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. So Google's not tracking it, and it's locked. It doesn't take any cookies. It doesn't take any tracking. They're trying. They may succeed at some point, but right now it's not. That's why they're going after it, because they hate them. Because right in their privacy code it says, we do not take metadata. Okay? So for now, as long as it's working, use DuckDuckGo. Something else will come along if they take them, because the people who wrote it are pretty hardcore anarchists. They'll just go somewhere else. They have no allegiance. They took money. They'll tell them, we need 10 years that you don't compete against us, so they'll get their cat to do it, and they'll start a corporation in their cat's name or something, whatever. But the key is, do not use Google. Do not use Bing. You know, these are a problem. These are a problem. Do not use AOL or Yahoo, any of them. Those are trouble from the start. Every one of them, data mine you left, right, and center. So when you are talking about personal information that they want to steal from you, they are always looking at things, unique identifiers of yourself, your spouse, your children, your dog, your cat, your bird, your giraffe, whatever. Whatever it is, they are looking for a way to continuously ping you until they get as much information as possible. The reason is because right now on the dark web, you can go and the price runs, if it's a verified one, if they have your name, your children's name, your pet, and your birthday, it sells for about $9. But they don't sell them at one. They sell hundreds of them at a time, and they only take Bitcoin. And so it's non-traceable. So last week, the feds busted a group that was in San Francisco, and they had the numbers, the card numbers, including the CVV number on the back, CCV number on the back, the security code, for over 18,000 credit cards that have been verified to have at least $10,000 open on the account. They had them for 4 hours. Anyone want to take a stab at how many dollars they had already gotten? $17.2 million. So, because what they do is they run the card up. I used to chase them, you know, in person. And what they would do is they'd steal a card from the mail. They'd get it here out of the post office, have somebody working there. They'd hit them and run them up here in Philadelphia, FedEx them to California. They're 3 hours behind. But they would do same-day courier or FedEx same day, and they didn't care how much they were paying because they were using one of their credit cards to pay for it. And they'd send them all out there, and then they'd run them again in California before it posted, because most of these people pull at the end of the day. So when they went in, it showed clear, and it pulled at the end of the day. So then they hit again, and then they send them across the pond to England, and they would run them up a third time. So if you had, say, $100,000 on your card, they could get $300,000 on one card in less than 24 hours. So it's important to recognize that any time you give away identifiable items on yourself, like your names, your kids' names, your middle name, your mother's name, your paternal grandfather's middle name, they mine this, and they keep stacking it, and they normally use your cell phone number to link them all together, because it's too much trouble to get your Social Security number, and you can't buy anything with your Social Security number. But if you have Google Play or you have Apple Pay, you can use your cell phone number to pay for things. So this is important. Their school, their club, their soccer team name, because people use these as the means to have their, how to get their lost password back. How many times have you forgotten your password and you made up one? By the way, do not use, where town were you born in? Really? You know, you can go to Zaba Search. Does everybody know Zaba Search in here? You can go to Zaba Search. You can go to ZabaSearch.com and type in your name and have a heart attack about what they're going to show you. All the places you lived before, all the misspellings of names, all the accounts you had, all the places where you were, all kinds of data about you, and that's before you pay for the rest of it. Zaba Search is actually owned now by Intellius, one of the largest crappy background check companies on the planet. I know how they do their work. It's crap. 9 out of 10 data pieces they get are inaccurate. Not the whole thing, but inaccurate in toto. And certainly on all the criminal behavior, they're always wrong.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
On ZabaSearch, can you remove yourself from that?
You can. One of the interesting things, so there's one they call Reputation Defender, I think it's called, .com. But believe it or not, one of the cheapest ones, who also will try to steal your data, by the way, is MyLife.com. Remember the one that started out as Reunion.com, I think it was called? So MyLife.com has a thing. I forget what it is. Does anybody belong to it? Do you? It's like three something a month or whatever. I think it's like $100 a year. And interestingly in it, if you pay for that version of it, it will let you go in and it will notify you every week telling you, uh-oh, there's data of yours floating around out there. And it will tell you, now it's not going to pick your nose and scratch your butt for you, but you go in and you follow the instructions and you click and you say, take this off. And you write them a little one-liner and say, take this off. And my experience with it over the past 6 or so years is that about 80% or better of it will be gone within a month. Another component to protecting your privacy is having a good and resilient internet security package on your computer or your mobile device. My personal opinion at the moment wavers back and forth between McAfee and their complete package and that of the Webroot Internet Security Complete. For most people, unless you have an IT person who's going to do it for you, I would highly recommend spending the $59 per year to cover 5 devices for a year with Webroot. That's WEBROOT.com. And pick their top-of-the-line product. The bottom-line one is 1 device for 1 year for $29.99. And the Internet Complete, Internet Security Complete covers 5 devices for 1 year. Everything across the board. Fast scans, no interruptions, protect yourself from identity theft. And then the next step up is it has antivirus and it covers your smartphones and tablets. It protects your logins and your passwords. And then the final top-of-the-line one, which is the one that I highly recommend, is the Internet Security Complete. And that one covers all those. Plus, it also eliminates all your traces of your activity online by scrambling your location and a series of other things. It happens seamlessly. You don't have to do anything. It does it for you. I highly recommend it. It works very well. You will notice if you go on Craigslist and you want to ever test, go on Craigslist when you put it in and it's installed and try to go search for something locally. It'll keep giving you, when I'm on in South Jersey, it gives me locations of things being sold in New York because it scrambles my location for me without doing anything. Mm-hmm, that's why. That means my work worked because they can't find you. So, okay. VPN. So, most people that have heard the term VPN see it as something that happens in a hospital or a big corporate entity. It really doesn't have to. Right now, VPN, which is a virtual private network, it basically sets up an end-to-end connection between you and their server, the provider who you pay for VPN coverage. And basically, with that pipe, it does this. You see this? So there's your computer. There's a whatever on the other end that you're aiming to. And here's yours on the internet. 1, 2, 10, whatever. It goes on. And through this pipe, like I was saying before, like going through a tunnel in a mountain, nothing can get to you until it comes out the other side. And there's only one thing on the other side, and that's your destination of your VPN provider. It then mirrors your request to go to wherever, you know, whatever, Al Jazeera, bomb building, you know, whatever. Out it goes, and the only IP that's attached to it is the IP on their server. If you're using the right VPN, they don't keep logs. So they will never report back, because no matter how many times they get sued, they can't, because they don't keep the data. So the moment you log in onto there, it begins transmitting your IP address, because it's coming from your ISP. But because you're using a VPN, it will actually establish a second network connection. You'll see two, if you have it showing, two network computer connections on your computer down in the bar, because it's actually established an entirely separate connection where it never IDs the IP address from your ISP. It strictly does from one the VPN provider gave you, and you log on them and go out. So your data traffic is shielded. You can use it on a phone. Yeah, you can use it on a cell phone. You can sit in an airport and have it on your laptop and have it on your cell phone and log on, and you can have eight of the top hackers in the entire world sitting right next to you who just flew in from Sweden on their way to North Korea, and they will never get in your phone, ever. So, this is my personal preference. This is NordVPN. They've been around for a long time. NordVPN right now, if you go to NordVPN and you click around a little bit and say buy, show me the price options, it will actually offer you 3 years unlimited use top flight for $99. It's a steal, because there are a lot of places who charge $300 a year and they suck, and half of them give the data away. They've been sued a lot of times. I always look and I always check to see the lawsuits that have come up against them, and the federal government sues them to get them to give up the information, and over they come up blank. That's what you want, because you're not really trying to hide from the government, although it doesn't hurt, but if they can't get it, it's not likely that some 15-year-old kid using a kiddie script is gonna get it. That's the key. It also has things like autokill, where you can just click a button and it will kill your connection and everything that you do, gone in a second. Everything, completely gone. So, highly recommend it. So, here's a little quick rundown just to make sure that you don't miss. So the obvious ones like laptop computers and desktops and tablets, then the routers, and then bridges and extenders. A lot of people get an extender for Wi-Fi or extender for their cell phone that uses your internet connection, because you're out in a further out area or you have poor reception or you're in a dip somewhere in the city. So it connects to there and it uses the internet, connect your cell phone to give you better coverage. And all that is completely insecure. So cellular telephones, burner phones. Quick comment on the burner phones. Please, if you go in and out of Walgreens, CVS, I don't think there are any Rite Aids left, look in their clearance section. Go to their electronics section and go to their clearance section every time you go in. If you have to go for a prescription, whatever, figure out where it is, ask the manager. Ask one of the kids working there. They'll tell you probably quicker, where's all your clearance stuff? And go through and go. Almost exclusively every time, you will find a burner phone that is, you know, the ones where they're pay-as-you-go phones. They're all smartphones, right? Yeah, smartphones. Some of them are actually pretty damn nice, too. And they'll be marked down to $15 or $10. I have them set up so that if I need them, I can turn them on. I keep them charged all the time. And I know how to actually program it to not even have a card in it and get a phone number. That phone number with that app, that burner app, you can actually use that and have the phone ring and make phone calls all day long for $4.99 a month using a burner phone.
And that's just for making calls, right?
And getting them. And texting. And sending SMS. You don't even have to have a cell phone, because you can use burner app as long as you got an internet connection.
So you don't have to actually have it provided.
Nope. I highly recommend getting them. I'll set them up for like $60 if you want to do one that way, or if you want to figure it out on your own. It's pretty straightforward. Use phones and smartwatches. This is really big. Lots of people are getting smartwatches that have come from China, and they have chips in them that are tracking everything you do. Okay, so cable modem, gateway, these are all backbone devices. Every one of these things are a threat. And now we come to my fun part. So, smart TVs. Samsung recently got busted. They had a video camera in the top of their thing so that you could do video conferencing. Okay? So, they were on all the time and recording all the time. Okay? Roku, my favorite. Roku has been attacked 2 million times, and so far, they're clean. Amazon Fire just got busted a little while ago. A group of people who were going down to one of the local farmers marts who sell the jailbroken Amazon Fire, so that you get, it has Kodi in it, which is a hacker software that lets you watch P2P movies that are not even out of the movie theater yet. And guess what they were doing? So Amazon has a piece of software built in their Amazon Fire that they broke, and it sends data to, what is it, ICANN, I think it's called, right? No, RIAA, right? RIAA, the one who sends you that nice letter and says your kid's been downloading movies and we're assessing you $22,000 in fines and blah, 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 and by the way, you can't have internet for the next 10 years. And so they have that built in it, so every time an illegal piece of software crosses it that fits the non-heuristic search that matches, it sends a message to them and your IP address. And then the guys who hacked it are dimwits, so they got the software from China, and in it, it had another piece that when you put in your information for your credit card so you can buy things on there, like Amazon, you know, purchasing Amazon on there, that they stole your credit card information and they were selling the credit card information. Google Chromecast. Google Chromecast, a new version, it's a little dongle. It actually has a microphone in it. And they record every single minute of conversation. Apple TV, same thing. Apple says they swear they only keep 30 days. Android third-party devices I just covered. And here are my favorites. The only thing that you should ever do with one of those pucks is take the hockey stick to it. There is an awesome, awesome video on YouTube. If anyone wants it, I will send it to you. If you have my email address or whatever, email me and I'll send you it. It's an awesome video. I think the title of it is Never Ask Alexa This Question. And it's this really funny guy. He's got a great sense of humor. He's a Russian and his hair is like all big up in the front. He's probably in his late 20s. He is hilarious. He has a channel where he reviews tech devices. And he reviews the Alexa. And when he gets done with it, he throws it. Because he figures out that he asks Alexa, he holds it here and he says, Alexa. And it lights up and he says, are you recording my voice and sending it to the NSA? And it goes, bloop, 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 and it turns off. So he turns it back on. He says, what's the temperature outside? Instantly answers. Says, are you recording my voice and sending it to the government? Bloop, and it turns off.
Right.
And by the way, oh, who gave $700 billion towards a brand new server farm that's on a ship floating in the harbor in San Francisco for Google? The NSA! That's who did. And guess what they announced today? The NSA made it official. They are moving even the training information and all of the software and data for the United States military onto Amazon's cloud service. Great idea.
Can you go back to
the
clip before that?
This one? Oh. So here's another one. Oh, awesome one. My favorite. We're going to get to it because I want to go. So we're going to run out of time. So Fitbit.
Yeah.
My favorite story of the year. This is my favorite story of the year. Ring doorbells, CCTV cameras that are wireless, baby room monitors. They were listening in on my mom, someone who's not friendly to my mom, and listening in into her house using a baby room monitor they had hidden in the house. Home surveillance crackpot and Nest with a video camera in it. That is the one they sell in Home Depot. That's the That's the thermostat. Ooh, it's so cool. I can turn my off. And it'll even tell me what the temperatures were in my house all day long. And everyone else who can get into that cloud can do the same thing. Washing machines, refrigerators that talk to you. Coffee makers that talk to you. Roomba that's now on Wi-Fi. This is what they've done to us. And we have asked for it.
Ooh, could you go back a second?
Yeah.
OnStar, eCall, MyLink.
LexisLink, Dashcot Mobile.
So as you're in the car, they're listening to
every single thing you do.
The whole conversation.
Everything, everything. And they don't need a warrant. The court said so. Mm-hmm. So.
That's where people plug in their music. If you plug into your cell phone, into your OnStar or whatever. Now, my OnStar, I don't pay for it, but if you link it in, just plugging into the adapter, it takes everything off your phone.
Yep.
Puts it in. I have a brand new truck. When I went into the truck, that's what ended up happening. My son plugged it in. All his information went into the truck. I was like, what the heck is this? Music playing everything. I'm like, why?
Yep.
Turn on that. It took everything off his phone, completely everything. I had to take it to a shop and have them strip it.
Yep. So, if you install an app on your phone, look at the permissions it's requesting. No phone app that's going to turn your flashlight on should be asking you for your contact data, your location, and 100 other things.
Every app does.
The other, no, they don't.
On
and,
Apple, they do.
And Google really cracked down recently because they took half of the number of apps off of Android now. Because they were abusing it, right? But the number one flashlight, I think it's called the world's brightest flashlight app, and it was on both Android and on Crapple, and both of them had a piece of software in it that was written by the CIA. And you know who found it? The EU. And they lost their minds over it. And it's still out there. And I think they said there's 170.8 million installs right now. They're going for a billion. Electronic meters. In California, you want to read something really interesting. They tried to get it through in New Jersey. They're still trying again. They put in smart meters there. And I worked a case in Atlanta years ago where the people who were the technicians in their data center were looking at the traffic of the activity on how much electricity they were using to know when they were home and when they weren't. And they'd take a moving van and go to the house back in right after they left, empty the whole house, and neighbors would come over and go, I didn't know John was moving. Oh, you got a really good job and blah, blah. And then they left and he came home and he's like, hey, I didn't know you were moving, and they was gone. And we found out that it was them and the cable TV guys working together. Ted, the energy detective. This is one of the really popular ones right now. Good for greenies. They love them. And what they do is it monitors how much power you're using in your house. It's really great. You learn how to be more green and how to not waste power and tell them everything in the kitchen sink about you. If it says it's user-friendly, basically relate that to screw me how hard. Yeah, yeah.
So you put the thermostat on the network.
Right, it's not connected.
But you block.
Yeah. So I want to buzz through this real fast. Have you ever seen an ID like this? User recommended settings?
Yeah.
Install, updates, don't, right? You notice there's no use custom install.
Right.
See what they do?
Yeah.
I hate Symantec. This is why I don't like Norton, and I don't like Office. Anyway. And Microsoft, because the two of them do the same exact thing. If you look really closely down the bottom somewhere, there's a thing that says go without it, and then you can go on. So, you just click next, that's right, and you go buy it. So they entice you to say, yes, give me the whole settings. And in it, if you look at what the settings are, it's like, send information about this I did, send information about that I did, send information so I can have a better user experience. No. Okay. So, what is a honeypot? Not that. That. What is a honeypot? That's a honeypot. When you are on the cloud, you have put all your stuff not where they just want yours, because nobody's going to be bothered to just take yours, but if they can take everyone in this room and everyone in this county and everyone in the state in one spot, in one hit, by breaking one code, That's what they're going to do. That's what iCloud, Google Cloud Services, Amazon Cloud Services equal. So think twice before you put your really important stuff up there, because they're going to take it. Smart TVs, AID, they take out. So this is the key. Voice control. Who here, well, you all have, almost all have Xfinity, so you have the thing where you go like that. I hate that friggin' app too. I think it's the dish. Ooh. And he says the words of some stupid movie, and he's like, look, it came up. And everything else you did too, it heard too. And they admitted last week that that Dish TV holds 8 days, because that's all they have enough storage for, and Amazon holds in perpetuity, and Google now holds in perpetuity. So they keep all your things. If you get a Bluetooth speaker, almost all of them have voice control now. They use Amazon services, which is held under Amazon's policy, which almost none of them tell you. And they take, and the minimum they tell you they hold is 72 hours of your information. There was a case last month where a guy was accused of having had an affair on his wife. And his wife's attorney went to the court and got a court order, and Amazon gave up his Alexa and his Comcast information of his voice and him in the house. Unfortunately for him, it turned out he was having an affair, but he was not having an affair with a woman. So, here's Fitbit. This is a world-famous incident now. You see that little scribbly map there on the ground, on the satellite map? It's a little bright. This was posted in November by Strava, who is the company who provides the software for Fitbit. And they had 170 million users worth of data that they posted on what they called a heat map. And you know what they did? They provided a specific mapping of every top secret military base in the world, because that is the heat map of our soldiers. And you see, there's that little white like scribbly there that's there. That is the most common area. You know what that is? That's the outside of the building. You know what they found out? The jet fighter pilots were wearing their Fitbits to see how their pulse was when they were running in the air in the F-18s. And they were getting data out of the F-18 using the Fitbit. So guess who bought them the Fitbit?
Russia.
No, the U.S. military. Because they're trying to get them to actually be in shape. Because 79% of the entire American public under 35 is not fit for duty.
And which intelligence base was wearing the Fitbit watch? They found it online.
Right, well,
tracking them.
They had the Navy SEALs was one of them they got.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, that's how screwed up this is. You know, you're not alone. And so here's the problem. Here's the problem. So you go out to jog, right? And that guy or girl that you were dating or whatever, or your son was dating, and shows up at your house. Right? And they can go online and find that data. Because all they need to do is use your dog's name and your birth date to get your password. So, I just covered that. So the dark web, and I covered that. This is a very interesting thing. I don't have time. I will send this to anybody who wants to read it. This is a very interesting article. It's about 8 pages long. It's written by John McAfee, talking about the hidden data economy and how they sell your data. Medical, financial, and ancillary data. So ancillary data is, what is your shoe size? Where do you eat? What do you eat? What do you drink? Etc., etc. The most important, of course, or your medical data and your financial data. So about 6 weeks ago on the dark web, a group of anarchists who were pissed off about something bought a very specific data set from a very specific group that they had gotten it stolen from, and they posted all of their medical information.
Well, I used to buy leads and special from the union. and which triggered all the unions. And one of the union workers would go into the union, they'd fill out this little card when they went up to pay their dues and this and the monthly thing. They'd fill out this card because that's their instructor told them to do. In the meantime, I would get all their information. So here I was, a total stranger, selling American Income or selling life insurance policy. I bought those leads.
Right, but this is much deeper. Right. And we're going to run out of time.
It gives you everything. I would know their children. I knew their health insurance. I knew all their medical information. It would all show up to me.
Yep.
And on a piece of paper that I paid $200 for 500 leads.
Yep.
But I have a question. Does it say on the form that they're filling out that this information can be sold?
Can be sold? Nope. Don't tell you.
Right. So a couple real fast things before we run out of time. So this is why HIPAA was created. I worked, I was going back and forth and testifying in Congress in the 80s while they were trying to develop HIPAA. And everyone had a heart attack over HIPAA. The problem was, we didn't really want the government to get involved because the government can't tie their shoes and chew gum at the same time. The problem was, nobody wanted to do it on their own. So sometimes you need a sledgehammer. So what happened was, much like we saw in the banking industry, nobody was doing anything to protect their systems, so they were like, well, it's not my problem. Well, I give a crap. Whatever. You know. Well, now you see it show up in the news, and they say, you know, Hobby Lobby or whatever, or Home Depot lost, you know, 12 million people's credit card names and numbers and addresses and all that. Imagine how happy I was working as a operator, as a contractor overseas, and I got a letter from the Office of Personnel Management saying, you won't, and I couldn't believe it, a whole page, the most arrogant thing I've ever seen in my entire life, a whole page with the Secretary of Office of Personnel Management for the U.S. government, and it said, you know, you can't imagine how angry I was to find out that my personal information used to put in as a CIA agent was leaked out of the government into the public arena. I was so angry, and I want heads to roll. And then on a second page it said, and by the way, so was yours. You know, this is like, these people will come and blow your house up.
Well, there's a company right now, and actually I got a call from them and I kind of laughed, and of course I love playing with telemarketers because they're a lot of fun. But there was one just recently that is trying to sell you a policy that they will handle and protect all of your personal medical information. Number one, they have no chance in hell because I can't find out my own mother's information, let alone through the HIPAA law. So I, of course, had fun with them, and I, of course, told them off, and this guy was like, no, really? I said, no, you can't. You're illegal, you're against law. It was a lot of fun. And to listen to this guy feed me everything that they were selling. So you got to watch, because they are trying to pull a power of attorney, and once you say yes in the recording, they have permission to
your file. A couple last things that I want to get in. So, first of all, where do you put your phone at night?
On my nightstand.
Yeah. Okay. So, you want me? I'll show you a little interesting trick. You know what this is, right? Right? This now covers my rear camera and my front camera. Right?
They're already covered.
Right? So, the other alternative is this, which I really, but you don't really want to put the sticker on it. This, Dollar Tree, six for a dollar, whatever.
That's a good idea.
Why don't you want to cover them? Slip it in.
Why not permanently cover them?
Because when you need them, they won't work right. That's what happens. Sock.
I don't want to use
that. That's a smart idea.
That's under the camera, right?
Right, this will take the camera out.
If you put it flat on your nightstand, the camera is either going to hit the camera.
Yeah, but it doesn't always work that way. So the next part is this. So go to Dollar Tree and buy one of these, okay? It's an earphone, and it says, earphone with microphone, right? Earphone with microphone?
Right.
See? One doll hair. One.
They don't work. Right? They break.
Who cares? Because you're going to cut it off. And what you're going to do is you're going to do this. See, now I left mine long and I put it in the case, so I don't have to worry about what I did with it. When I get done, all I do is open up the little port and I stick it in, right? No microphone, no sound. Have a nice day, right?
Does that mean it doesn't bother you, or they can't hear you snoring?
They can't hear me. Mm-hmm. Right.
Snoring.
So
that pattern can go up in the cloud and get shared with everybody.
So
isn't there a way
it's very simple.
Turn off the microphone?
They can turn it back on.
They can
turn it back
on.
Remember, if you can turn it off with software, you can turn it back on with software. Right? This is hardwired. When you push it in, it actually lifts the metal off and disconnects physically, mechanically, disconnects. $1. Make sure it has a microphone in it. If you look very carefully, this has 4 segments. That means microphone, left, right, you know, speaker, because they share a common. Simple as pie. Plug it in. Have a nice day. You can cut it off at the end, or you can make it long like I did and let it dangle when you're not using it. One catch. If you have a Bluetooth, make sure you turn your Bluetooth off. And as a friendly piece of advice, when you use your Bluetooth headset, turn it off when you're not on the phone. Okay? As long as it's on, someone can hack it, but more importantly, it is beaming RF into your brain.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you didn't mention, if anybody travels on an airplane, guard your boarding pass well, never throw it away. A little box code on there can be read, and they know everything about it.
Yep, has all the data, good point, too.
All the data.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is there a way to do the same thing on your computer, like you just did with your phone there?
Yep. So on your computer, you have a microphone and a speaker plug, right? So when you're there, they also sell earphones, just plain earphones without the mic. It has 3 segments, left, right, and center common. And cut that one off and just stab that right into your computer, and off goes your mic. Have a nice day. Very simple. That's why I started, and I wanted to end with the same thing. 90% or better of all the hacks that happen are low-tech, and you can stop them by your own action. Doesn't take thousands of dollars, doesn't take lots of technical skill, takes a little time and a little effort. So, you know, I threw a lot at you. I wanted to get a little more time to answer questions or whatever, but we're up against it. But the, you know, hopefully it'll at least be of some use to spark your ideas. I'm going to be posting a lot on the Survive with Will about it shortly, so... Yeah.
I was going to mention, when you were discussing the cutting the piece between, you mentioned McAfee's coming out with this box.
Mm-hmm.
I already have a device like that from Asus, and I can have a chip in there, and I can use it like I already have Nord, mm-hmm. and I have it for my phones, and I also have it for the computer, mm-hmm. and you can use various different...
Right. Well, Nord will run... By the way, Nord, if you buy that one, the Nord, it actually works simultaneously on 6 devices.
Right, right.
So you're only paying once, and you're getting 6 covered.
But it's a card that you can get already pre-done in your router,
mm-hmm.
and if you attach that router to your, say, your cable... your cable box, mm-hmm. like your Comcast cable, whatever, it is basically getting the signal as it comes into the house.
Right.
And it, so everything in the house then is protected.
Right. Except that if your IoT devices are on, anything that's on the same network as that, it'll leak right out. It'll bypass your VPN and go right out.
What do you mean?
See, if you have like a Nest or whatever, or you have a they have washers and dryers now.
Oh, I don't have any.
You know, have that kind of stuff, or like that crock pot or whatever, or you have, you know, an Alexa or something. It'll all bypass right by that.
No, I wouldn't use any of that stuff. Mm. But the only problem that I found with using something like that is that then you can't use a Roku, can't get on Netflix, because it's showing up that you're in a different location. Your ISP address is coming up with a different location.
I never had a problem with Roku, but that's the reason that I highly recommend using 2 routers and putting one on the outside and one on the inside of the VPN. You follow me? I think you were at the bathroom when I covered it.
No, I saw that. So you're saying you use one
Right. You. Yeah. That's why, remember when I was saying about a subnet and different streets, that what you want to do, it's really simple. You set one up and you put all your stuff that's not secure on that. And then you put your laptop and you jump on with your phone, whatever, onto it through the one that's secure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very straightforward. But the beauty of it is that when you do that, you can, it's like, you know, making the segregated bathroom or whatever. That's what you're doing, you know?
Yeah, you have to split it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By doing that, you remove all the threat because you put all the stuff that you have no control over that doesn't have a high-end password, like a Roku. I love Roku.
Yeah.
But it has a shit password. I mean, they're crap, you know? So, I mean, it's true that you have to link it to your phone, you know, but once you do that, it's over, you know? So you put your phone on long enough on that to lock in, and then you go back out onto the other subnet again, you know, and that's that.
Or when you get to a burner phone.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Yep. And I honestly like the idea of having a bunch of burner phones and using them as like the remote and, you know, doing the little things and surfing the net or whatever, because you don't have to care. Who cares? You know? I mean, at that point, you're not going to get anything. You're not using it for anything of any significance. And all your important stuff, like your contacts and all, they're all on the other. You know? So, but hopefully that's of value. Anybody else have anything? Thanks for coming. I appreciate it.